read by Tom Sanders. Comedy next this evening with a panel game that was on the airwaves before the Boeing 747 even took to the skies for the first time. The year was 1967 and the show is, of course, Just a Minute. Sue Perkins is in the chair for the very latest edition next.
The book I've chosen is Station 11 by Emily St. John Mandel.
The Trees by the African-American writer Percival Everett.
Letter from an Unknown Woman by Stefan Zweig.
What makes a good read?
It's laugh out loud funny. It's horror.
It's a fiercely angry book.
It's extremely cinematic.
Recommendations and reviews from guests including Agnès Poirier, Sophie Raworth and Nikki May.
You just have to stop, put the book down and tell somebody what you've just read.
The new series of A Good Read with me, Harriet Gilbert, on Radio 4 and BBC Sounds starts tomorrow afternoon at 4:30.
Welcome to Just a Minute. Sue Perkins here, and as the Minute Waltz fades away, what an absolute joy to welcome you to another episode of Just a Minute. Time, of course, to introduce you to the four wonderful and talented people who are going to be playing this game tonight. They are Holly Walsh, Alan Davis, Zoe Lyons and Paul Merton. Please whoop and cheer for all four of them. It'll come as no surprise to regular listeners that I'm going to ask them to speak for 60 seconds on a topic I give them without hesitating, repeating or deviating. So let's see how they get on. And Holly, we're going to start with you, my lovely. Your subject is New South Wales. New South Wales. The face is saying to me no, but I believe you've got it in you. New South Wales, what can you tell us without hesitating, repeating or deviating on the subject? You've got 60 seconds, starting now.
My geography is very, very...
Paul, you challenged.
It was hesitation.
Yeah, it was a repetitious hesitation. It was a, yes, correct challenge. You get New South Wales. 56 seconds on the clock, Paul. What can you tell us about that location, starting now?
New South Wales, of course, in Australia, and I was once playing some Australian club gigs many years ago, and a man came up to me, and he was rather surprised to see me there, as indeed I was him. I had done a comedy show at a place in Twickenham called the Cabaret Club or something like that, and he had heckled me, and there he was 5 years later coming up to me in a similar establishment on the other side of the world, and he was amazed that I remembered him, and I did. And I thought to myself, this is a strange coincidence. Later that night, as I buried his body dark in a deep forest, I realised that I would have to get away from the New South Wales police who were hot on my trail. The thing about this particular force is that they know exactly how to get their man. They took the fingerprints off the body and they realised that those...
Zoe.
Body.
Yes.
Fingerprints off body.
Absolutely.
Yes. There are two bodies.
Two bodies.
Yeah. And very good timing, because you've only got 14 seconds on the subject left, Zoe.
Well, I appreciate your optimism, so...
New South Wales, and your time starts now.
I worked in a restaurant in Newtown, a part of Sydney in New South Wales, as I travelled around the world. It was a Mexican restaurant that served... Oh, no, you see, I told you!
Paul.
It was too many restaurants.
Oh, yes. 5 seconds left, please, on New South Wales, starting now.
When I was there, it rained an awful amount of the time, and I turned one day to the individual...
Alan, now, hello. You're with us next. I'm sure you've got a lot to say on this subject. A lot.
Let's hope so.
Yeah. What makes a great kebab?
Oh.
Yeah. What makes a great kebab? You've got 60 seconds on that subject, starting now.
A great kebab usually contains meat, which I don't eat. It comes from the Arabic word kebab, which means burnt or grilled. And famously, Turkish soldiers would get lumps of this stuff and they'd get it on their sword and put it over the fire. And that's where the spearing through comes from, which is very popular. We call them shish kebabs, where I come from in North London. And the other favourite kebab, after the pub, you know, is where you get the pita bread and it's stuffed full of food and sauce and it drips all over your clothes, but everyone's starving hungry because they've been drinking for ages. And you don't really know what it tastes like. You can't even feel it go in. And it goes through you like a dose of salt. So it doesn't matter. A lot of calories. I'm getting a lot of sympathy, which I'm frankly finding a bit condescending.
Holly. Carol, are you challenged?
I think there was a hesitation.
Oh, it was only the slightest of hesitations. You're being very strict with Alan. But...
I love it.
Alan's not showing a great deal of enthusiasm for keeping it, and so even though it's very marginal, I shall give you the subject with 15 seconds remaining. What makes a great kebab starting now?
In my opinion, what makes a great kebab is that purple cabbage that they sprinkle on the top, because once you've eaten it and you do a pee, you often think you've had internal bleeding. I myself only eat kebabs when I'm very drunk.
Zoe, your subject, I'm sure you've never been taken in by this, fool's gold. Fool's gold. What can you tell us all about fool's gold in a minute, starting now?
Fool's gold is a mineral that looks a little bit like real gold, but is in fact not. It is a cheaper version of that precious metal. Fool's gold can also refer to an investment that you've made that was folly. For example, I this week started an online share dealing account full of knowledge that I would in fact make my retirement fund in the first full week. This did not come to fruition. Not entirely my fault. There was a chancellor that put a spanner in the works, which I couldn't see coming, although I am now going to have to work well into my 80s to make some sort of ends meet and live out my life fully. Fool's gold can also be when you think you recognise somebody, but it isn't them, and you shout out, "Hey, you!" and realise it's not the gold you were looking for. That is a very, very clever periodic joke.
Oh, the thrill is real, my friends.
That was hair's breath.
Wonderful, wonderful stuff.
So you don't have to be coherent.
No!
Doesn't have to make any sense whatsoever.
No.
Good to know.
You can stagger across the line. You can crawl across it. Who cares? Just get across it.
I was hallucinating for most of that.
Well, it was brilliant.
Speaking as the whistle went, you get the point and an extra point for speaking for the full minute, of course. Congratulations. That was really wonderful stuff. Paul, your subject now. And I'm very interested to know your tips on this. How to get fired. This is how we sack people at the BBC now. We make them speak for a minute on it, and then at the end of it, they realise what's happened to their contract. Can you speak for 60 seconds, please, without hesitating, repeating or deviating on how to get fired, starting now?
Up yours, BBC.
Alan challenged.
Repeated B.
Correct challenge, Alan. Well done. You get the subject then. How to get fired. And your 48 seconds begins now.
Stealing from work is a very popular way. Everybody does it, including the boss. But eventually someone is the scapegoat. I've stolen envelopes, apricots, many things. You tuck them into your pockets. You distribute them amongst your friends. What have you stolen from work, you say? And they say, "You've just repeated yourself, you fool."
Paul!
Yes, repetition is stolen.
Yes, absolutely. He handed that to you on a plate, to be fair. You've got 27 seconds now on how to get fired. It's back with you, and your time starts now.
When I left school, I got a job with the Civil Service, the Department of Employment. It wasn't something I particularly enjoyed doing, but there were some nice people there. I one day said to the office manager, I said, how would I...
There were two saids.
Yes.
They were in very quick succession.
Said. Yeah, sure.
Normally, little words like that we don't bother with, but they did come hard and fast upon one another. So, yes, correct sure. challenge. You get the subject, Zoe, with 17 seconds remaining. How to get fired, starting now.
The best way to get fired is not to do the job that you are employed to do. I have, in fact...
Paul.
Repetition of do, quite close together.
Yeah. Can't argue with that.
That's what happens with these challenges. Yeah, they come back and bite you.
They do.
They do.
I have been comprehensively sacked from this subject.
It was a correct challenge. Yes, you can get away with it. You spread them out, but if they're that close, it's hard to ignore. So 11 seconds, it's back with you again, Paul. How to get fired, starting now.
At the fun fair, I approached Supremo the Cannonball Man and I said, how do you get fired? Because I notice you are ejected from this huge weapon right across the field and you land in another part of the district altogether. He said, well, there's...
Well, Wonderful. Paul speaking as the whistle went, which means he gets the point and finishes up that round. Scores, we have Alan slightly trailing, just behind Holly. He's just behind Zoe, with Paul just narrowly out in front. We're back with you, Holly, and Blondie is your subject. Oh. You've got 60 seconds to tell us about Blondie, starting now.
There are many meanings to the word blondie, my favourite being the brownie, which is made with a much more buttery, creamy aesthetic, therefore coming out as yellower and is called a blondie. Blondie is also a very famous band with Debbie Harry, or Deborah Harold, as her full name goes, who was the lead singer. I myself have used her as my muse throughout my career, as I am a blondie, although it is not in any way natural, and I should be called a mousy. I find Blondie to be a pretty good listen, but I have to say, not all of their tracks stand up to the test of time. For example, the one they sing about sitting on a beach is rubbish. I am also very keen to keep talking about this, so if there's any other meaning for Blondie that I can find, I will be expounding on it at any second now. Blondie is something that I would like to.
Do you know what? I speak from personal experiences. You can keep your bungee jumping. That's the biggest rush of all. Holly, you spoke as the whistle went. You spoke for a full minute. Means you get that extra point as well. And the rush of pride. Alan, we come to you next. And quite the subject here. Tectonic plates. That's your subject. You've got 60 seconds on tectonic plates, starting now.
Tectonic plates make up the surface of the Earth, the lithosphere, which is the section, the hardened bit, that goes all around the globe, rather like the chocolate of an Easter egg. And they make...
Paul.
Well... It was a bit of hesitation in there.
There was a little
bit of hesitation. He was slowing down, perhaps.
He was slowing down, but do you know what? I'm going to give Alan the benefit of the doubt
there. Yes, do.
He's, I'm interested in the analogy.
I felt he was building up to a slow finish.
Yes. I mean, you may well be proved right, Paul, to be honest.
I think he was just speaking at a sort of tectonic plate speed.
Yeah. At an evolutionary pace.
That's all it was. It was slow. Yeah.
And I can see no reason why we don't hear more from Alan about his enormous spinning Easter egg in the sky. 44. He's the new Brian Cox, everyone's saying. 44 seconds, starting now.
There are 7 or 8 main plates, and then several other platelets, and they move against one another and sometimes go beneath, and this can cause volcanic eruptions or earthquakes, the creation of mountain ranges. They were discovered only in the 20th century and really confirmed in the 60s. So for many thousands of years, no one had any idea what was going on down there. Why were things emerging? Why was it so terrifying? Why did it happen out of the blue?
Oh, I was involved in that. Zoe, your challenge.
Why indeed?
Why?
Just the question, why?
Yes, it's often asked on this show, and we've yet to find the answer. A correct challenge. With 12 seconds remaining on tectonic plates, your time, Zoe, starts now.
My grandmother had a dining set that was kept for best. They were her tectonic plates. Enormous. And we needed a huge table on which to put them.
Alan.
That must count as deviation.
I think tectonic is a very specific type of plate. I've never visited your grandmother's house.
Zoe said she had a huge table.
Massive table.
With the San Andreas Fault running right down the middle.
Just not on the subject at all.
Well, I don't really know a lot about tectonic plates. Well, I mean, I knew more about plates.
No. I mean, and I understand where you've gone with that, and it was a wonderful flight of fancy, but now we know that Alan has such a deep breadth of knowledge and understanding. It feels important to support his challenge, especially since there's only 1 second remaining on the subject. Alan, your time starts now.
Continental drift.
Zoe, we're with you next. My first mobile. OK, Can you speak without hesitating or repeating or deviating on my first mobile in 60 seconds, starting now?
My first mobile was the size of a house brick, but it folded in two, so a flexible film of that building material. It was a...
Alan.
What was that word after flexible?
Flexible building material.
No, it's like a flume or a foam.
It's a flexible flume of building material. It's like a floppy
brick. There's a little
brick.
Hesitation that made the word go funny.
There was a little bit of hesitation.
To be fair, that's what it would have sounded like on my first mobile because the reception was awful.
I enjoy the defence of this very much, but I'm going to go with Alan. I think there was a little bit of a... 49 seconds, please, on my first mobile. Alan, and your time starts now.
My first mobile hung over my cot, and because I was a...
Holly.
I think you sort of regressed to being a baby and forgot how to speak there.
I didn't feel that was a massive hesitation. I'm going to let Alan continue, but Holly, you will get the benefit of the doubt. It gets spread around evenly as the show goes on. You have my word. Alan, the subject remains with you. 43 seconds, please, on my first mobile, starting now.
No plastic materials were involved because it was the 60s. Everything was natural and it was all metallic. Objects that sailed overhead, and if they should fall, would slice straight through you. You could easily lose a limb. Many babies were lifted up in the morning and no limbs at all. The mobile had dropped things upon them. Aeroplanes, rockets were popular. People were obsessed with space travel. Cars could slice through you.
Paul.
Repetition of slice.
There was a double slice, yeah. They could fall and slice limbs and then slice again. Yes. Simpler times, weren't they, the 60s?
Yeah.
Simpler
times.
None of your health and safety nonsense. Correct challenge, Paul. Well done. Yes, you have the subject with 11 seconds remaining on my first mobile, and your time starts now.
I don't own a mobile phone now, but I did receive one, I think, round about the early 1990s, and I lost it at some point, never missed it, and decided I wasn't going to replace it at all. So therefore, I'm one of the few people in this country today...
Paul, we are back with you. Pennies in the Fountain is your subject.
Is she?
Should probably take her out. It's cold in there.
Sorry, I'll just cross that joke out.
Pennies in the Fountain, please, Paul. 60 seconds on the clock, starting now.
Some people throw pennies into wishing wells and make a wish, but I suppose a similar idea occurs when you hurl pennies into a fountain. There was a film called Three Coins in a Fountain where the actresses involved, three of them, I think, decided that what they were going to... Oh, it's not on the card.
Zoe.
Two threes.
Yes. Three actresses.
I was thinking it was three pennies, but it's not. It's pennies in a fountain.
Three actresses and three coins in a fountain. Well, listened out for.
Yeah, but what about Penny? No one cares. Is it stuck there, cold and wet?
Well, the thing is, she can't swim. She's got no limbs because there was a mobile above her. Sank like a stone. Shame.
Poor Penny. 45 seconds, Zoe, with Pennies in the Fountain, starting now.
Pennies in the Fountain are much less often seen these days because we've all gone contactless and you can't just swipe a fountain, you don't get the same effect. I'm always tempted to steal the pennies out of a fountain. I know that's a bad thing, but they're so tempting lying there all shiny and worth stuff.
Paul, you challenged.
Hesitation, sadly, as you realised what a penny was worth.
Nothing.
Correct challenge, Paul. 25 seconds remaining on Pennies in the Fountain, starting now.
As I looked deep into the water, I could see the image of King Charles looking to his left, and I thought to myself, that must be one of the new pennies that has been created. And so I decided to climb into the liquid, and I found myself grabbing these penny things. Oh, it's pennies, isn't it? I must write down what these things are. It really
does
help.
That was like a cheese dream, Paul.
I was trying not to repeat pennies, but it's in the thing.
Yeah, you're all right with pennies.
Yes.
Zoe, your challenge.
Yeah, slipped on the bottom of that fountain, I think.
Absolutely. Just,
yes.
Yeah.
9 seconds remaining. Pennies in the Fountain, your time starts now.
Definitely never throw a £2 coin into a fountain. That's just showing off.
It's also a deviation, because the subject is pennies in the fountain, not £2 coins. And I know, because I've written it down. Look, I've got it here. I've written it down.
Our are pennies still legal tender? I thought the lowest denominator.
Well, somebody just get Penny out of the fountain.
I mean, it's a strict challenge, Paul, saying, I mean, a little bit of deviation.
£2 coins?
It's 200 pennies just crammed into one coin.
Is a £2 coin a penny?
No.
But you can't throw a penny in the fountain.
Yeah, but it's
anymore.
Pennies as well. It's plural, so it's not penny in the fountain, it's pennies.
Pennies?
No, I was just thrilled that I'd written it down right.
Do you know what? I've lost the will to live. So what I'm going to do in a slight Breakthrough tradition is to say that everyone's got a point and you've all got 3 seconds to speak simultaneously on pennies in the fountain and then we will call an end to that subject. And your collective time starts now.
Pennies in the fountain.
At the end of that round, everyone was speaking as the whistle went, so everyone gets that extra point. And let's have a look at how that's affected the scores. Alan, trailing slightly, but only very slightly in fourth position. Just ahead is Holly. Zoe, some way ahead in second position. And Paul, narrowly ahead in first. And Alan, we move to you for the next subject. Jane McDonald. Can you speak for 60 seconds without hesitating, repeating or deviating on Jane... not on Jane McDonald, obviously. She's not, that would be utterly offensive. But could you speak on the subject of Jane McDonald? Alan, starting now.
Nobody was more surprised by the success of Jane McDonald than Jane McDonald herself. She was singing on cruise ships in the 90s and they made a television programme on the ship. And suddenly she had all this exposure and was very popular. She recorded an album that went to number one in the album charts. And hasn't looked back.
Holly.
Oh, it's the double album.
It was a double album.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, the double album. You know a lot about Jane McDonald.
Yeah.
Oh. I could do a minute.
Correct challenge, Holly. You get the subject with 44 seconds remaining on Jane McDonald. Starting now.
The thing about Jane McDonald that makes her so attractive is that she genuinely loves singing. You will never see a person standing on stage having as much fun as she is, and nobody in the audience is sharing that, which is quite a wonderful moment. I myself am not a Jane McDonald fan because I've never been on board a cruise ship, but I imagine if you were to be on... Also, can I take that back? Because I think she actually is brilliant. I sort of weirdly went down a route of negging her for no reason whatsoever.
No, listen, you've corrected yourself. Don't be so hard on yourself.
I imagine Jane McDonald listens to Radio 2, not Radio 4. But
you
if she
know.
Did listen to this, I'd be horrified.
Well, you've taken it back and she will duly note that, you know? And so will her lawyers. So, Paul, you challenge.
Yes, hesitation.
Yes, it was hesitation. 21 seconds on Jane McDonald, please. Paul, your time starts now.
As the ship sailed nearer to Egypt, we realised that the two of us were in love. We held hands across the bandstand. The musicians were playing our tune. Jane, I whispered into her ear. Paul, she said to me, you must realise that we were made for each other. And as the pyramids came across the horizon in our view, we said to each other...
Zoe.
It's deviation because you can't see the pyramids from...
We'd got off the boat by then.
The Mediterranean. Oh, I thought you were still on the boat.
No!
I definitely had you on the bandstand there.
I mean, to be fair, Paul didn't give his exact location. So, I mean, you could be forgiven for saying...
I think the pyramids
potentially...
aren't that close to anything nice. I think if you actually go to the pyramids, they're sort of near a garage and a McDonald's.
Yes! And she owns the McDonald's. That's her name. That's what it is. As she kissed me, she whispered in my ear, do you want fries with that? And I knew that...
Simply because there's 1 second remaining, I shall be giving that back to Paul. He has 1 second to prove that he has a good view of the pyramids without repeating pyramids starting now.
Pyramids!
Zoe, we're with you now. Passing your A-levels.
Oh, okay.
That's your subject. Passing your A-levels. Your 60 seconds begins now.
I would imagine that passing your A-levels is quite a happy day in your life. However, I have not taken A-levels because I went to school in Scotland where we took different exams. I sat hires. You do more of these particular types of examples of testing yourself.
Trying to avoid exams, I sense.
What's another word for exam?
Examination.
Test. Test, there you go, yeah.
Paul, your challenge.
Hesitation, sadly.
Yes, that's a correct challenge. 42 seconds on passing your A-levels, starting now.
I was never particularly good at exams at school. It may have been my handwriting that let me down. I did pass a couple of A-levels, English and history, but not with particularly successful grades. I remember one of the teachers saying to me, you have no chance of passing this test when you sit in the summit, which was the kind of character-building speech you always expected from a Jesuit priest. And I said to myself at the time, I wonder whether I can actually get through this piece of sitting in front of everybody else in this two-hour space and try to answer the questions that are going to be put down in front of me. One of the subjects I mentioned earlier, I just invented a whole load of characters. One of the questions I believe is something along the...
Zoe.
I think there were a couple of repetitions in there. One of the subjects, one of the tests.
Yes, could be.
Yes, there was some repetition. And so with 6 seconds remaining, Zoe, right, you get back passing your A-levels and your time starts now.
To pass your A-levels successfully, you need quite a high fibre diet. Otherwise, it becomes a painful...
And so we enter our final round. And we are with you,
good
Paul.
Noise.
Now, I'm sure you've never done such a thing as skiving off, but that's your subject.
Skiving off.
Skiving off. 60 seconds, please, without hesitating, repeating or deviating, and your time starts now.
When I worked at the civil service after leaving school, I would find various ways of skiving off. There were many offices in the building, and I had a legitimate reason to have been in about 2 or 3 of them at any given time. So when I wanted to get away from the work I was doing at the desk, I would find myself talking to my colleague Fred Todd about Hancock's Half Hour. He was a huge fan of Tony Hancock, and we used to love talking to...
Zoe.
Hancock's Half Hour,
Tony Hancock. Plural and singular.
Oh, I beg your pardon.
So, incorrect challenge. Paul, 39 seconds. Back with you, skiving off. Your time starts now.
There would be other opportunities within that job, but then I decided that one day what I was going to do was try to stop skiving off. But it was very difficult to achieve that ambition. Other people around me were skiving off all the time. The person who was meant to be my head of department was hardly ever there. And I found out later that he was doubling as a National Hunt jockey. It was an extreme shock to me to suddenly tune into the TV one night and see there he was winning the Grand National on Devon Lock in 1953, which was the Queen Mother's horse at the time. I said, how on earth did you travel back to that... I knew I was going to repeat time. I was going to repeat time, so I stopped.
Great run there. But, Zoe, you buzzed in.
A little hesitation.
Oh,
and a massive deviation to a different decade. So it was...
No, it's still true.
Yep.
Scooted around, but you're right, the hesitation was what you got him for. With 5 seconds on the clock. Skiving off, please, Zoe. Your time starts now.
I was an absolute master of skiving off in my first job. I used to hide under the desk.
Wonderful stuff. So Zoe was speaking as the whistle went, which means she gains that point. And at the end of the show, the scores are pretty tight. Alan slightly trailing, Holly just ahead. Striding out a little bit further on, we have Zoe, and narrowly ahead of her, today's winner, Paul Merton. Well played all. Thanks to my wonderful guests playing just a minute tonight, Paul Merton, Zoe Lyons, Holly Walsh and Alan Davis. We're of course indebted to Ian Messiter, who devised the show, and to Nicholas Parsons, who chaired Just a Minute for over 50 glorious years. We also thank Caroline Barlow for blowing her whistle so beautifully, so loudly, so very close to me. The producer was Rajiv Karia, and this was a BBC Studios production. And this is me, Sue Perkins, saying thanks so much for listening wherever you are. And please do join us again next time we play Just a Minute.
Thank you.